Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you gentlemen, what you're about to witness is no illusion.
Lots to talk about today.
We got the bass banging from head to Buckingham Palace. They're all
moving. Whole lot to talk about today. We will do it. We will talk to Steve White. We didn't have Steve last week. The trade deadline overcame us, and so we never got Steve's Super Bowl recap. We never properly asked him about the offseason. We never said our farewell to Steve. He joins us for the NFL season every year now for the last four or five, and it's a great gift that he does, and we're thrilled that he does. We're not going to press him into service for the Alliance of American Football League analyses, where he could break down all of the scoring plays for the Memphis Express. That was not a great debut, Jeffrey. Did you notice that?
Well, I mean, it was Christian Hackenberg doing Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. We will. We're not going to get into the alliance with Steve, but we will talk about because it's very interesting what happened with the league over the weekend. And what happened was people watched. More people watched football Saturday night than watched the NBA Saturday night.
The overnight football actually really wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't.
Like, this is when people want to nitpick about the XFL. The biggest problem the XFL had was the football itself stunk. Like, the teams were put together at the very last second, so willy-nilly, they weren't prepared. They had no organization. The football was really bad.
We're going to get into this later on today. Here's the interesting thing, because what you're seeing is now that it started, it's like, "Oh, this could be fun."
Right? Exactly.
That's happening on a national level. I even sensed an uptick in interest about the Express, right?
Yes.
Yesterday. But here's the problem. Before the game started. Like, there's interest in the league. What happens if the league takes off, but the Memphis team does not because, A, we're just sort of minor leagued out, but also because it wasn't a very exciting – it doesn't look like it's going to be an explosive – you want them to be flinging the ball all around, right?
Well, yeah, but then why did they hire Mike Singletary?
Well, we'll get into this later. So, anyway, it was a promising debut for the league, if not the Memphis Express. Chris Harrington is going to join us at 10 o'clock, of course, to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, all things NBA. Continues to be – an interesting time for the Memphis Grizzlies. They got a win over the weekend. They beat the Pels in a must-win game if you want to convey the pick. That actually happened. The whole we must convey, that happened after our show Friday, didn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah, the Chris Wallace proclamation of the new goals for the franchise. And so we will talk about that. I was at the Memphis-UConn game yesterday to watch the maniacal Dan Hurley and his UConn Huskies lose to the very calm and dignified Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers. So we will talk about that as well. Again, so we'll get to Steve White in this hour. We'll get to Chris Harrington at the top of the next hour and a whole bunch of things to talk about. But I thought I'd start with the stunning news of the weekend. And actually, you know who broke it to me? You did.
You're welcome.
You did.
It's not often that gets to happen. The feeling of breaking news to someone is tremendous.
I slept in Saturday. Last week was a busy week, and I didn't have the kids Saturday morning, and so I slept in.
Took some me time.
I ignored the phone buzzing when my buddy Charles called me, but then at about 9:30 or 10, that's how much I slept in. The phone rings, and it's Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, they're bringing Chandler Parsons back.
He's an acceptable douchebag.
And I'm like, come on, man.
You really did think at first I was kidding.
And you're like, they never disappoint. They're bringing Chandler Parsons back.
It's true, though.
It is true, and it is not. And this is what I want to say. Because the initial reaction to the news that Chandler Parsons, the $94 million man, is going to be coming back to the Grizzlies.
He's an acceptable douchebag.
God. Who was it who said? Who is it who's saying that?
It is Chrisley. Chrisley Knows Best.
Oh, the father of
Todd. I think his name's Todd Chrisley.
The father of
Savannah Chrisley.
Savannah.
Correct.
And Savannah was one of the women that he maybe possibly dated.
Yeah, she was part of the Amtrak Express.
But then he brought the Instagram model. Mm-hmm. What was her name?
Bella Thorne, I believe.
She was the one who sat courtside and who took pictures of herself in the
bathroom
mm-hmm. at FedEx Forum with her leg up on on the counter.
Yes. As we all do.
Just casually. Yeah. I know when I'm in the men's room.
Exactly.
I sometimes just casually throw my leg up on the counter and snap a photo of myself and send it out to social media. So that instantly you're like, the instant reaction is this franchise is the most effed up, crazy, what in the world franchise, how in the world. I had people tweeting me saying, this is the angriest I've been. The idea that Chandler will be back now that Mark is gone and Chandler's back. Listen, Chris Wallace is here, Chandler's here, and Mark is gone. And like, I had other people just blaming the franchise for being a clown show, et cetera. And then you had all these elaborate theories, conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
those are my favorite.
Chandler had a beef with Mark, and so now that Mark is gone, they could bring Chandler back. That was one of the conspiracy theories. Or another theory that I heard was Chris must be on the way out. Chris is on the way out. He's been had his power stripped away from him. And so because he has had his power stripped away from him, therefore they're bringing Chandler back.
Yes.
Okay, that's another one.
Makes sense, right?
Or not conspiracy, but the most trying to put it in a rational light. And by the way, all these theories are wrong. But then trying to put it in a rational light was someone who said, no, no, no. What they decided was since they couldn't trade him at the trade deadline, they'd bring him back and play him either for the push to nine to try to get to the ninth from the bottom or to show that he has value, and so they can therefore deal him this summer. To prove that he has value, you might as well get some money out of him, et cetera.
You're paying him, you might as well play him.
Right. I've heard all of those things floated around. And it's tempting, I will say, given the Grizzlies' history, it's tempting to reach for the what a clown show explanation. Anything that makes them look ridiculous, right? What a bunch of bozos. They send him away. They bring him back. They like just like they sent away Tyreek and they brought him back. Just like once upon a time they sent away Chris Wallace and then they brought him back. What a bunch of morons. Ha, ha, ha. And I will grant you that in the big picture, what they are doing is living with a moronic decision, which was the decision to sign Chandler Parsons. But I will tell you, as I thought about it longer and longer, I came to realize that none of those theories, none of those conspiracy theories are true. There was no beef with Mark and Chandler. They're not bringing Chandler back because Mark is gone. There is no sense in which, I'm not saying Chris Wallace is imbued with great power, but it's not because he was suddenly stripped of powers that Chandler Parsons is returning. They're not bringing Chandler Parsons back because they need him or because both sides need each other. They're not bringing Chandler Parsons back because they want to showcase him so they can trade him. They're not bringing Chandler Parsons back for any of those reasons. They're bringing Chandler Parsons back because they have no choice. What happened at the end of last week?
The NBA forced the Pelicans to play Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis wanted to play.
Yes. Anthony Davis, the Pelicans were going to sit out Anthony Davis for the rest of the season because they have no desire. Well, first of all, they don't want any games. Now they know they're going to have to rebuild, and so they don't want to make the playoffs. They want to be in the Zion sweepstakes. They have no desire to win games, and so they are in tank mode. They have to rebuild. Why have Anthony Davis win games for you? It's a little bit like Tyreek at the end of last year, only on a superstar level. Why have Anthony? In fact, Anthony Davis, Friday, he played against the Grizzlies Saturday, but Friday against the T-Wolves, he started. He was booed in New Orleans. He scored a whole mess of points, and then they didn't play him in the fourth quarter a minute in a close game.
And in fairness to the front office of the Pelicans, it seems to be well reported that they wanted to move him for these reasons, but the ownership is more wrapped up in the Saints and doesn't really care.
Right. So the I don't mind them trying to stick it to the Lakers and waiting for a better deal. I got no problems with waiting for a better deal in the summer. But anyway, so they wanted to just sit him out. They said, we'll just sit you out. Because what would really be awful is now for him to get hurt. They don't want to. By the way, he has a history of getting hurt. So they wanted to sit him out and for the rest of the season. And the league said, whoa. No one wants to watch the garbage Pelicans without Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a star. We can't have Anthony Davis just sitting on the sidelines when he wants to play because the Pelicans don't want to play him.
Especially when we have national television contracts.
Even though we did let the Knicks send Joakim Noah off into the space, like whatever. Like there is clear precedent for doing this, for doing what the Grizzlies have done and doing what the Knicks did, etc. But we cannot have this with one of the best players in the league, etc.
Yes, especially one that rates on television.
So they were threatening to fine the Pelicans $100,000 a game. Now, you're Chandler Parsons. You want to be activated? Well, let's be honest. What you really want is the Grizzlies to release you.
He's an acceptable douchebag.
That's what you want. You want the Grizzlies to release you so you can go play wherever you want to go play. Dallas or the West Coast or wherever else. That's what you want if you're Chandler Parsons. And so so what do you want to do? You're going to force the Grizzlies to take you back because you know the Grizzlies don't want the sideshow of having you. Do you think the Grizzlies, this is just me connecting the dots here, okay?
All right.
Do you think the Grizzlies, there are two options for what happened Saturday morning, okay? One is that the Grizzlies, having survived an emotional week with Marc Gasol, okay, having had two funeral goodbyes for Mark and Mike, mm-hmm. having sent away Mark but not having sent away Mike, having gotten killed for the Mark deal, having had a press conference with Chris Wallace in which he says the goal now is to just focus on winning. Okay. Do you think, and then, and knowing that
J.B. Bickerstaff, who'd been, by the way, sideswiped multiple times during the course of the season and had to answer awkward questions at difficult times. Do you think the Grizzlies chose at that moment Saturday morning to drop the news just because they wanted to, because it's fun, because they wanted to bring him back, that Chandler Parsons is coming back?
It seems highly unlikely.
Or do you think that Chandler Parsons, who might, for example, want to be released, even though he knows the Grizzlies don't want to release him, relied on the precedent of Anthony Davis to force his way back and then throw another stink bomb into the Grizzlies season at the end of already an emotional week and make the team look even more ridiculous than before? Which of those seems more likely? That the Grizzlies wanted to create another sideshow, or that Chandler Parsons wanted to create another sideshow?
The latter seems more likely.
I would say the latter seems more likely as well. And so that's what's happening. I'm not an idiot here. If you're putting two and two together, you look at the Anthony Davis decision. What's happening is that Chandler Parsons is forcing his way back into the roster. And by the way, into the locker room, where I don't think there's any question now that he is the guy who leaked the stuff about the fight. The fracas that broke out in the Grizzlies locker room. And so you have a guy coming back to be as disruptive as possible in the midst of this season. And because the larger picture here is the Grizzlies are on the hook for a $94 million contract with Chandler Parsons, right? So if they cut him right now, bought him out, they would be on the hook for the full $94 million or whatever salary cap going forward, right? So that means it would be the rest of this year and next year they'd be dealing with the Chandler Parsons contract. If, however, they can trade the contract once it becomes an expiring contract, it's much easier to deal. I don't believe they will do this, but the easiest time to deal Chandler Parsons and get the contract off their books is at the trade deadline next year, when it might actually be useful. It's not a great free agent class next year, and so who knows what the market for expiring contracts will be. But historically in the league, expiring contracts have value. So Chandler Parsons, who has no value, who's been an anchor, who's been an anvil to you for the entire time since he signed the contract, at the trade deadline next year, he actually starts to have value. It is in the Grizzlies' best interest to keep him until next year and then trade him, not play him, and then trade him at the trade deadline. Not play him because he's a traffic cone in terms of defending, right? And obviously Chandler Parsons doesn't want that. He also doesn't want to give the money back, which he could do too. Like, he could do that. He could reach a settlement with him where he gives a vast amount of the money back. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to take his money and be released. That's what he wants.
He wants to have his cake and eat it too.
He wants to eat his cake and have it too. Exactly right. And so that's what happened. I just refuse to believe that the Grizzlies decided, woke up Saturday morning and said, having just survived this week, having just had this, we want to convey the pick press conference, having finally put the Marc Gasol saga behind him, I do not believe that they woke up and decided, let's create another sideshow on Saturday morning just for kicks. No, that was a Chandler Parsons production. And now, hilariously, the most hilarious part of the whole deal is that he is going to
have to play.
No, that's BS, by the way. He's not guaranteed playing time. Now, JB may well play him. He is, like, the person in the organization who likes him best is JB because of their past history. And JB also, heck, he played Shelvin Mack, you know, so he may well play Chandler Parsons. But the idea that there was a report somewhere that he's been guaranteed playing time, that is absolutely not true. He has not been guaranteed playing time. By the way, this week, Valentine's Day. Have you figured it out?
I was reminded.
Jeffrey has a Valentine. This week is Valentine's Day. If you are one of those people, meaning male, who has not figured it out yet, get yourself to Robert Irwin Jewelers. It has the engagement ring that you want starting at only $599. Starting at $599. That's if you're ready to take the big leap. Ring design is the number one thing that women care about in an engagement ring,
and Robert Irwin Jewelers can help you out there. You could get a ring from the Dream Collection. Handcrafted engagement rings featuring fancy-shaped center diamonds like Oval, Pear, Marquis, and Princess Cut. Each ring, one of a kind. Those rings start at $2,999. They get one carat fairy tale engagement ring, your choice in white, yellow, or rose gold, only $9.99 while supplies last. If you're not quite ready for an engagement ring, all kind of options there too. They got a ring from the True Promise collection. That's at $149. You can get a You and Me Rockin' Diamond necklace featuring two interlocking hearts with rockin' diamonds in the center representing the two of you. Got to see those starting at $199. Or maybe you want to get a 24-karat gold-trimmed rose. This is a real rose, carefully preserved, artistically arranged, and trimmed in 24-karat gold, starting at $69. And by the way, you get a free box of Dinstall's chocolate with purchases of $99 or more. Great gift ideas starting at $59 at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Time is slipping away. Get yourself to any of their convenient four convenient Memphis locations, or check them out at rij.com. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now it's time. You can feel spring coming. Means it's time to contact the good folks at Jameson Lawn Care. I am so thrilled. They're coming out this week to help me out. Pat O'Brien came out to look at my the collection of weeds that is my lawn. And they said they could fix it. They said they could fix it. Really? They said they could fix it. Listen, here's what they've been in the business. You use national people. It's one of the great pleasures that so many of our good customers here are. Good local companies. Jameson's been here since 1939. But then, as Pat explained to me, they were honestly going to get out. So they do obviously pest, they do mosquitoes, and they do lawn care. And they were going to get out of the lawn care business. You know why, Jeffrey? Because no one's ever happy.
Ah, makes sense.
You can see that, right? Yes. You like one little weed comes up, and you no one's ever happy.
For
right?
sure.
So they were going to get out of the lawn care business, and then they discovered a new system, which, guess what? Seems
made
to make
people happy.
Everybody happy. Exactly. Since then, sales are up 30%. It's an all-liquid program, no mess on the sidewalks, driveways, or in the pools. Complete fertility program, addresses the whole plant, the root. Targets root zone, root development. Listen, if you don't get the pre-emergent down now, you're cooked for the whole year.
Cooked, I tell you. Cooked,
I tell you. And they looked. I have this spot that bothers me underneath a big tree out back, and they said they can magically make grass grow there too, as well. So get in touch with the folks from Jameson. Lawn Care, 901-372-3166. That's 372-3166 or jamesonpest.com. I'm going to give you full report on how my lawn is progressing, and I am absolutely giddy with excitement. Okay, the other thing that happened yesterday was the Memphis Tigers beat UConn, and it continues to be a wonderful – it's the part of this that you can't imagine. The different feeling at Tigers games this year compared to, I mean, it is truly, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it. From basically.
Are you saying the stark contrast? You haven't seen anything?
Morgue. Yeah. Just in terms of a morgue last year to just a totally fun deal. It is a totally fun deal now. But yesterday was particularly entertaining because you had UConn, and now UConn is much the same.
they're in much the same situation that Memphis is in. They didn't go to the tournament. They below 500 each of the last 2 years, didn't go to the tournament each of the last 2 years. They fired a coach with $10 million left on his deal. Now, with Kevin Ollie, they're trying to not pay him, unlike with the Tigers and Tubby, because of NCAA violations. That's why they're not paying. They're trying to not pay Kevin Ollie. Interesting little side note. The Kevin Ollie has filed suit saying that he is being treated differently because of his race. He said, basically, if you look at what Jim Calhoun did, he also had NCAA violations, and he wasn't fired. I'm being fired, right, for these allegations. And so, basically, he has a discrimination lawsuit going on. That's the backdrop to all of this. But they went out, so they fired their coach who had $10 million left on his deal. Tigers fired the coach who had $10 million left on his deal. Both teams have vastly better recruiting. The Tigers right now ranked 14th in the country heading into this year's class, and UConn at 16 in the country. They're both kind of struggling. Actually, UConn's two best players are out, so they're struggling even more. But they come in to FedEx Forum yesterday and lose to a game Memphis leapt out to a 24-12 lead, hung on to win, et cetera. But the main show was Dan Hurley. I have never, ever seen a coach as maniacal as Dan Hurley. Who is the most, football or basketball or any sport, the most maniacal? And I would say out of control, but he wasn't out of control. It was controlled fury, and like he knew what he was doing the entire time. The way he phrased it later is, he is much the same way as Penny. He says, I need to teach my team to compete, right? And he said, I don't hope to be this revved up in 3 or 4 years, but I am the battery pack for this team right now. I have to get them to. He is, from the moment the game begins until the moment it ends, screaming at the top of his lungs the entire time, gesticulating at the officials, at his own team, at the fans. At one point, they'd gotten within six in the late in the game. And Kevin Davenport goes in, misses a shot, and gets fouled. And Hurley took off from the UConn bench. He just started walking. He walked. And he was going to walk 10 steps out onto the court. He walked clear. It actually is shocking. I think the refs should have given him a technical at some point. There were many times when they should have given him a technical. But he walked clear across the court. So his feet were actually off the court on the other side of the court and got into a shouting match with a fan on the other side of the court where he either said, sit down or sit down, D-bag. Depending on who you believe.
Was he yelling at one of the birds?
It wasn't one of the birds.
Okay.
Bobby Bird, I talked to yesterday because, they're normally known for...
Harold is not exactly one that...
Not a shrinking violet.
Yes, exactly.
Not a shrinking violet, but I talked to Bob Bird yesterday. He said he makes Bob Huggins look like a Boy Scout. He's the most obnoxious, foul-mouthed coach I have ever seen. Who is the most obnoxious, foul-mouthed coach you have ever seen?
Okay, so obnoxious, I'm not particularly certain that he's foul-mouthed, but PJ Fleck really rubs me the wrong way.
Really?
Yes. Now,
you can't see what he's saying.
Correct.
So, but the way he acts on the sidelines.
Yeah, he just really, really annoys me. Muschamp, now he's settled down. But especially when Will was a defensive coordinator, I mean, Will split his head open one game, like trying to like chest pump a player, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and guess that Will's language was not exactly
Well, that's the thing. In football, you can't tell, except for you can sometimes lip read the language. Basketball, obviously, whether it's Bobby Knight or Bob Huggins or Kevin O'Neill was famous for this.
Andy Kennedy was tremendous, but he wasn't. It was more against his own team than it was. Like, Andy was not the kind of guy that would
dog cuss someone else.
Right. But he did have, at one point, he did ask David Huertas to justify his existence.
Do you...
Which was an all-timer.
With James Franklin, does he bother you, or do you like James Franklin's... He has an enthusiastic style, but it's not...
I have other issues with James Franklin that are more legal.
Okay. Among the things he said yesterday were, get this S under 6.
Okay.
Okay. Way to beat that S up. That was like when someone beat the down the floor, right? They had, great job, way to beat that S up. This was clever. Play defense even if he travels. Because he'd been on the traveling
thing.
He said,
I like that
play
one.
Play defense even if he traveled. Like,
I like
just
that one.
Screaming, spittle coming from his mouth.
That one I'm okay with.
In the first minute involving Jeremiah Martin, he better shut his effing mouth.
Not nearly as good as play defense even if he travels. But
So, listen, I don't know. If you listen... I believe.
I
didn't hate it. Listen, I don't believe that you have to belittle your players to coach. I just don't believe that. Right? I don't believe that. I didn't think he was belittling his players ever. I thought he was ripping the refs. He was. I mean, it was clearly over the top.
In fairness, I think John and Gary had this conversation on Thursday about the way that Hurley carries himself, that it's going to rub some people the wrong way, and no one was ready for this.
People are going to hate him, but why don't you want someone to hate, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know me. I'm all about theater, man. That's what you want. If you want other people to recognize you exist.
Well, yeah, and I mean, in terms of if things go well, and that's the thing, you could tell neither coach, unlike the Tennessee situation, where the coaches clearly had disdain for each other.
Right. This was not antagonistic towards the other coach.
The coaches like each other. They each couldn't have been more complimentary. When you asked Penny about it after the game, he started laughing before the question came out at all. Like they clearly like each other. They have mutual respect. And this rivalry should be one of the great rivalries in this conference going forward. So I think it's a great thing from a Memphis perspective. And we only have to hear him. Listen, it's going to be fun. Particularly if you win. It's going to be fun to telling him to sit the F down. Okay, we got to get to Steve White and then Chris Harrington. Before that, though, I got a text Friday from my man Paul at O'Call, because I have been telling you that with the semi-annual sale, things are 50 to 70% off. And I apologize, because I was wrong. Everything's 70% off. It's all 70% off. It's not 50 to 70. It is all of the fall and winter merchandise is 70. This is just crazy at this point. Get yourself there. It is all 70% off. They've consolidated their merchandise from their Nashville store. You can go. It doesn't matter. Suits, sport coats, pants, 70% off. Jeans, sweaters, outerwear, 70% off. You can get the same unbelievably beautiful clothes, the same incredibly attentive service, the same friendly atmosphere with unbelievable savings, 70% off. So get yourself to O'Call, where they've combined the best of their Nashville stores with the best of their Memphis stores. And as Paul was quick to tell me on Friday, 70% off. We're going to come back and talk to Steve White, then Chris Harrington, Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. So you know you're singing
sweet Caroline. See the walls of your home, the floors of your one of these folks, it's going to rain today, evidently. And one of these folks, you're going to start worrying, oh, is rain going to come in my basement or my crawl space or my garage? If so, call Redeemers Group, 541-8765, 541-8765. It's a local company that's been helping the Mid-South and Memphis for more than a decade. Deal with foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, concrete leveling, all that sort of thing. 541-8765, 541-8765. The great thing about Redeemers Group, in addition to their high-quality work and affordable prices, is the consultation is 100% free. They'll send somebody to your home, size up what's going on, if anything's going on. If you have a problem, just mention my name, Jeff Calkins, and you'll get an additional $50 off any repair. But the initial consultation, the expert analysis, the privilege of having the experts for Renewal come to your home and tell you if there's a problem, that is 100% free. So there's literally no reason not to give them a call. 541-8765, 541-8765, or on the web at redeemersgroup.com. All right, we're a little bit late to do this because last week got away from us because of the trade deadline stuff. So we did not have our normal time with Steve White. We were not able to review the Super Bowl with Steve White, and we were not able to say goodbye to Steve White. One of the great segments throughout the fall, and a real privilege for us for the last few years, has been when Steve has joins us, and so belatedly, we're bringing him on now. Steve, of course, the pride of Westwood High School, went to play at Tennessee for the New York Jets, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now he is he's joined the journalist class, and you can follow him on Twitter at SGW94. So Steve joins me for one last time now. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good. I wasn't here last week for your Super Bowl prediction show, and in fact, you just teased it, and I read it on Sunday, and you got it right. Pats. You went Pats. What was your how did the Super Bowl – how was it different than you would have assumed, or how was it like you would have assumed?
Well, the one major thing was I said that the Rams couldn't win if Todd Gurley didn't have a big game. Now, to me, after watching the film, I actually think Todd Gurley was healthy. But for whatever reason, they didn't incorporate him into the offense the way I thought they would or should have. And so I felt like the Rams made a lot of unforced errors on the offense. Their defense actually held up a little bit better than I thought they would. But at the end of the day, you know, if you give up those big plays to Gronk, more than likely you're not going to win.
What do you think is going on with Todd Gurley? Have you ever seen anything like that where they just decide – one of the best players in the league, we're going to just, in the critical moments, the most critical games, we're going to just de-emphasize him? It was astonishing.
Well, in the championship game, he actually did look a little gimpy. After I reviewed the film, not only running the football, but trying to block on blitz pickup, he didn't look like he had any kind of strength in his lower body. So I could understand why they limited him in the NFC Championship game against the Saints. But against the Patriots on Sunday, the guy looked fantastic. I mean, for the limited opportunities that he had, he did get the one big run called back, but that really was a bogus holding call anyway. When he actually had a lane to run, I mean, he was making the most of it. And so I just really can't understand, especially because the Rams rely so much on play-action pass. But play-action pass does not work if you have not and will not establish the run. And so it just is very curious why they came out with that game plan. Having said that, you know, I do think that Jared Goff didn't play his best game. But, I mean, Todd Gurley not getting the opportunity is going to be a head-scratcher all offseason.
That phantom holding call, by the way, and I understand. Listen, the Patriots outplayed him all game long. So it's hard to look back at this and – this is not like the Saints game where you look back and say they were robbed. They were, though, robbed on that play, and at the time it was tied. And instead of, you know, all of a sudden they're looking at first and 20, they end up having to turning the ball over, and the Patriots come down and score what turns out to be the winning touchdown. So, like, it is like, – I understand, like, they lost because they were the inferior team. Let's be clear. But that, once again, in a big game, that was a totally, like, what you, there was no holding on that play.
There really wasn't. What actually happened is another player fell into 71's legs, and that's why he fell down. He didn't fall down because he was being held. And the curious thing about that call is that, I mean, there were much more egregious holding penalties that should have been called that weren't the whole game, right? Like, if you recall, that was one of the few holding calls that they had all game. And it just so happens to be on one of the best runs of the game is going to get them in the positive yardage and you know, across the 50-yard line, I think. And in a game that's tied 3-3, the officiating from the NFL has been horrendous this offseason. And that's the worst time in particular because everybody's watching the playoffs, even the casual fans, people that didn't watch many games during the regular season, everybody's in front of the TV for these playoff games and especially the Super Bowl. And to see the way these referees perform this postseason, something's going to have to be done, man, because like you said, that was a huge play. There was a huge call, phantom call, in the middle of a very tight game.
In terms of the Rams' struggles, obviously you think they didn't emphasize Gurley as much. But how much of that whole game, well, on both sides, was inept offense, and how much of it was just brilliant defense, both brilliant defensive play and brilliant defensive play calling by both sides?
I mean, the defense came to play. Make no mistake about that. This wasn't just like the Rams, laid an egg or something. The Patriots came out, and the one thing that they did, which I predicted in my column, was that they crowded the line of scrimmage. They had at least five or six guys up on the line of scrimmage every single play. And what that did was it took away the Rams, what they do best on offense as far as running the ball. They like to double team the two inside guys and get the running back up to the secondary. Well, you can't do that when you got five or six guys up on the line of scrimmage. And it was almost as if the Rams just weren't prepared for that pretty obvious counter that the Patriots went with. I will say that at the end of the day, there were opportunities for the Rams to make plays. Jared Goff, however, was so confused that he just didn't seem to trust his eyes. All throughout the game, you'll see plays where there's a guy open and it looks like Jared Goff's going to throw the football, but instead he kind of double clutches it, and the next thing you know, he's getting sacked or he's getting flushed out of the pocket. And then by the end of the game, the rush was getting to him so much that he also didn't trust the protection. So they could have potentially won with that game plan if Goff plays better. But at the same time, the reason why he didn't play better is because Belichick was in his head. The guy just could not see the field on Sunday because of the different looks that the Patriots were giving him.
And, of course, Romo pointed out the phenomenon whereby they, at one point, didn't break the huddle till 15 seconds remained on the play clock, in order to prevent Belichick from seeing anything about the formation and then conveying it to the players, because obviously communication with the players cuts off with 15 seconds left. Is that something you've seen before? I mean, it's the kind of thing that Romo points out. It wasn't prediction, but is very helpful. To me, it suggests two things. One is like Belichick's obviously got him figured out, but two, he's clearly in their heads. Like if that's what they're resorting to, they're like, he has, if we show him anything, he's going to have it stopped. And I don't know that I've ever seen sort of such an obvious concession to the fact that they were being outsmarted.
Right. And look, we're not sure that that's why they were doing it. That's something that Tony Romo said, but he probably didn't just make it up. Somebody in that organization probably told him, hey, watching the game, we're going to do this. And then that's when he mentioned it. So if it was the case that they were waiting to break the huddle with 15 seconds left because they were afraid of Belichick seeing what they were coming out in, that is the most absurd thing I've ever heard of in my life. The reality is this. The Rams normally go from the line of scrimmage. They usually don't huddle up much at all. And the thing of it is, the quicker you go, the harder it is for a defense to get adjusted, right? You come out and you're ready in your formation, and the defense still has to look around, see what the strength call, see what the strength of the passing formation is, see if they need to check anything. That's why when you go fast, most of the time you catch these defenses off balance. And especially if you think the defense is waiting to see what you come out in and have Belichick related to the defense, that's even more reason to go faster, not slower. So it just boggles my mind if there's really something that they worked on and something that they said, hey, this is how we're going to get them. That might be the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that's remarkable. You once said, I think I asked you, Brady or Peyton, and I think you said Peyton. Do you still, is that true?
No,
and do you still?
No,
that's not true? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you might need to rewind the tape. I love Peyton, and I played with him a couple years. Uh-huh. No, I'm going with Brady.
You're going Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Although it wasn't his best game. I mean, this was not his best game.
It was not. It was definitely not his best game. But when they needed a play or two, because on their drive, he actually made several outstanding throws. The first throw, he throws to Grunt. That's man under. The guy's right up under him. That has to be a perfect throw to get that in there to Grunt. He threw it right over the guy's head, laid it in there to Grunt, and that set up everything else that happened on that drive. So he absolutely was not great. You know, he throws the interception on the first play of the game. There were other plays where he missed guys who were wide open too that were very curious to me, because normally you just don't see Brady bypassing a guy that's wide open to throw to a guy who's covered. But when they needed him to make a play, just like when they needed Jared Goff to make a play and he didn't, when there was a wide open wide open running back in the flat who might score on the drive where they ended up settling for a field goal, when it was Brady's turn, he made the plays to help them win that game. He lays it right up over the linebacker's head again to Gronkowski all the way down to the one, and then it was pretty much academic after that. And I'll say this too. One thing about the Rams' defense is they usually are not very susceptible to motion. But the Patriots love to use motion to confuse defenses and outflank them. On that play to Gronk, that was one of the few times in that game where the motion really threw off the Rams' defense. That linebacker he was started over on the left side, then had to switch over to the right on Gronk. And I think if he was lined up where he was supposed to be from the get-go, Brady probably doesn't even try that throw. But once again, the Patriots beat you by outsmarting you and outcoaching you, and they get you with some motion, and they get the linebacker out of position, and bam, there you go. How many quarterbacks make that throw in that situation in that close of a game? It ain't many, and Tom Brady is probably at the top of the list.
It was an interesting year because, listen, a year ago people were saying ratings are down because of Colin Kaepernick, and that was always BS, and the ratings were up this year because it was an interesting year. It was a year of a lot of new faces and of Patrick Mahomes and Baker, and, I mean, the Rams were fun, and there were a lot of interesting storylines. In the end, the Super Bowl ratings were down because people are bored out of their minds with the Patriots. Let's be honest. I mean, he may be great, but they're bored out of their minds with him. But as you look back at the year generally, despite the officiating problems, which were a mess, despite the fact that people didn't want to watch the Patriots again in the Super Bowl, I thought it was a pretty good year for the product. What did you think?
Listen. People can say what they want to, and everybody has their own different preferences or whatever, but the NFL is king, right? People are talking about, hey, the Super Bowl ratings are down this year, and they still got over 100 million people to watch, though, right? A down year for the NFL isn't a down year for your favorite TV program, most likely, right? We're still going to see the NFL well outdistancing just about everything else. So the NFL is king, and that's why they have the leeway to have down years, because they're already so high up on the ladder, right? So, yeah, it was a down Super Bowl, and of course, the controversy in the NFC Championship game probably didn't help. I'm sure nobody in New Orleans watched the Super Bowl. Those things conspired against the Super Bowl, but you're still getting 100 million people to watch. So guess what? that's going to be a win forever and always for the NFL.
What are you interested in this offseason?
This offseason, you know, we got a bunch of new coaches in, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle some things. I'm also looking to see, you know, which teams start building a little bit more around their quarterback. You know, it's scary to think, but what if the Chiefs put even more talent around Patrick Mahomes, right? Get him a little bit
Get him some to help
bigger,
on the other
like
side
big,
of the ball. Yeah, they need some defense, right? I mean, that's the help.
Well, they need defense too, but you can get you – see, they already got the speed guy, right? Now they get them one of those big-time 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers on the other side, and you already got Kelsey, right? You can draft these kids now. They making them – I don't know where they growing them at, but – every year now, you got 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers coming out in the draft, and you can get one in the second round probably. That defense really, a lot of that was Eric Berry not playing most of the season, and you got to decide what you're going to do with D Ford. Are you going to keep him or not? But I think the defense really, if Eric Berry comes back healthy, if they can keep D Ford, I think they'll be fine on that side of the ball. They actually got better as the season went on, for the most part. But if you get, I'm just saying, if you get Patrick Mahomes, a big guy who can go up and get the football, other than Kelsey, that Kelsey is pretty much the only guy on the team who can do that. You got Tyreek Hill, who's fast as all outdoors, but if you double cover him, you can erase him. Get him another red zone target. That offense could be almost unstoppable next year.
I'm actually interested in, I start thinking about it. Like, I'm interested to see whether Aaron Rodgers and the Packers can bounce back. I'm interested in seeing whether Garoppolo and the 49ers can do anything. I'm interested in seeing whether the Bears can build on, obviously, a disappointing end with the field goal and everything, whether the Bears can continue to build on what they're doing. I'm interested in seeing what both quarterbacks from that draft, Mariota and Jameis, ending, they're going to get another chance with their team. I'm interested to see what they're going to do. I'm interested in seeing what all the first-round picks from this past year's quarterback batch are going to do in their second years. I think it's a promising time for the league, just because anywhere you go, even my pathetic Buffalo Bills, there's an interesting storyline. Like, what can Josh Allen be? I just think it's a and then, like, where's Le'Veon Bell going to go? Where do you think Le'Veon Bell should go? Texans? Jets? What do you like the idea of signing Le'Veon Bell?
Well, yeah, I mean – if you're the Texans, you absolutely, if you can fit them in there, because you got to pay Clowney too, but if you can fit them in your cap, absolutely, because anything you can do to take some pressure off Deshaun Watson, and then you still got Nuk Hopkins in the passing game, that would be a no-brainer for me. But I think Le'Veon Bell could go a bunch of places. They've even talked about him maybe coming down here to the Bucs. Most of you are going to look for a team that has a lot of cap room.
Yeah.
And, you know, that already doesn't have, a top-notch starting running back, because he's going to be looking to get top dollar. I'm not sure he's looking for a Super Bowl ring right now, or if he'd have just, you know, took a lesser deal to stay with the Steelers. So, it is curious where he's going to end up, because he's going to make a difference wherever he goes. He's just that good. But I don't necessarily think that that team is all of a sudden going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Right. Yeah. And then, of course, there's going to be some quarterback movement. Whether Nick Foles, you don't think he's the answer in Jacksonville. The Eagles are going to put the franchise tag on him and try to deal him. So they partly so they can control where he goes. They don't probably want him to go to Washington. You don't think he's a difference maker in Jacksonville. Who do you like just preliminarily? Obviously, on offseason is yet to, but the AFC South has all of a sudden become really good. Who do you like in the AFC South?
In the AFC South?
Yeah.
I mean, the Colts were phenomenal this year, and most of us didn't really expect much of them. By the end of the year, you had Andrew Luck was second in the league in touchdown throws. So if they can upgrade their defense just a little bit, their defense actually came on strong by the end of the year. But if they can upgrade, especially up front, their defense a little bit, get a few more weapons around Andrew Luck, they have that offensive line pretty much where they want it to be finally, right? So give them a few more weapons, man. That coach team, not just the AFC South, I think the whole AFC has to be wary of them next year.
Interesting. Yeah, the Titans might be. It's an interesting time. I said this earlier in the week. For the Titans, it looks like they've been mediocre or bad for a long time. They might be a decent team both this year and next year going forward. But now all of a sudden that, like, Jacksonville, I think, has to be better. They're not going to be what they were this year. The Colts are obviously better. They're good. The Texans are good. Like, that's murder's row now. Like, it's going to be difficult for Tennessee, I think. Thoughts on the Titans?
Oh, yeah, because now they, you know, we always joke about how the Patriots have such an easy road every year because the AFC East is so bad. But the AFC South, man, like you said, it's a murderer's row now. There's no easy wins in that division. It'll come down to with Jacksonville who they end up replacing Bortles with. And look, Nick Foles could be okay there. My whole thing is I would shoot higher than Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles will be fine wherever he goes. I don't know that he'll be a Pro Bowl guy, whatever, but he'll be better than Bortles at least. But if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm going to try to get the best available quarterback for the money that I can spend. And I think they still have quite a bit under their salary cap anyway. So I'm going to shoot possibly higher than Nick Foles if I can. I'll settle for Nick Foles, but I don't want him to be the first call I make if there's somebody out there that's better.
All right, Steve, when do you start breaking down the draft? People want to know. When can we start reading about your draft analysis? When's that?
Well, I'll probably take a week or two to catch my breath, and then I'll be right back at it. Usually I start writing them, but they don't necessarily start getting published for a couple of weeks, so it'll probably be about a month. But in a month, you'll probably start seeing them come out at a pretty steady clip.
And the great thing is, it's a draft loaded with the defensive linemen. That's your specialty. So it'll be like a crazy year for defensive linemen. So we'll be reading it at SB Nation. Again, on Twitter at SGW94. Steve, it is truly one of the great pleasures every single year. People wait for you to return. They're sad when you leave. They look forward to you every single week. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being willing to come back on the radio in your hometown and talk to us about football. It's a true delight, and really can't thank you enough.
Well, I really appreciate you inviting me on. I've always enjoyed, being able to talk with you and being able to be heard in my hometown. Shout out to the Westwood Longhorns. I always got to shout them out. The basketball team won the district, and I'm very proud of them. So, and I just enjoy being able to continue these conversations, and I look forward to doing it again next season.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, that is the great Steve White.
So I had a small problem last week. It was 8:30 at night, and my kid, Peter, didn't have his charger for his Apple computer. And sadly, at that hour, Cooper Systems is closed. So I was forced to go to a big box store to get a charger for his computer. I walked into the big box store. I waited, looked for someone to help me. Couldn't find someone. I then went over to the line where they have the customer service, waited in line for about 5 minutes behind someone who had an issue, couldn't find someone. I then FaceTimed with Peter to help him see if finally, after 15 minutes, I got some help. And it just reminded me, honestly, why I like to go to Cooper Systems. Because, yes, you can get the cutting-edge products. You can get your computer repaired. You can get your brand-new computer. You can get, like I did for my son Andrew 2 weeks ago, a refurbished, good as new, zippy MacBook Pro. All of those things, dramatically less expensive. But honestly, to me, the best thing is you walk in there and you get service like it's the 1950s in the best way possible. Friendly, helpful, immediate, follow up. If you have a problem, you can call them. They'll be there. The technicians are right on the spot. They don't have to send anything away to be repaired. It is the kind of service that you don't expect anymore. Let's be honest, in America. And it is a reason to go to It's the reason you go to the local place rather than the big box place. It's going to be sucking your money out of Memphis and send it to wherever. You know, go see your neighbors, Lee and Lauren Cooper. They can set you up with a new computer, or they can fix your old one. Their number is 360-9679, 360-9679, or stop in and visit them at the Mount Moriah Office Park. But when we come back, Chris Harrington is going to join us to talk about the Chandler Parsons situation, win for the Grizzlies, and what lies ahead. We'll do that next. Jeff Cockinger, 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.